How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, as well as Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes. The list goes on and on. This is the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the whole entire world. Got a lot to say about that here, by the way, particularly in regards to iHeartRadio. I don't know if we plug that enough, but iHeartRadio is such an easy way to listen to this show all the time. I was on the site the other day, and I typed in wrestling, and boom, number one on iHeartRadio here, Wrestling Observer Live. So I believe that a lot of you probably already have the app. I think they got 40 million registered users on iHeartRadio, and over the next few years, as more and more cars get equipped with various apps, it's going to be easier and easier to listen to Wrestling Observer Live and Sports Byline USA wherever you go. So if you've got iHeartRadio on your phone, you should be favoriting Sports Byline USA, and you will be able to hear this show every single day. Yes, including Saturdays. If you miss Friday's show, we do replay on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. And we've got some other replays during the day as well. Weekdays, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. I think Tuesday through Friday, there's a 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern replay. Something like 21 hours of Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline USA. So do not miss out if you have not been hearing the show on a regular basis. We got so much stuff to talk about here today. We got 2 hours to do it. We'll take your phone calls, 855-478-4478. We got WrestleMania just a couple of weeks away. I am going to Santa Clara for the show. We can talk about that. Tons of stuff taking place this weekend and tonight. UFC 185 with title changes and upsets. Raw is coming up tomorrow. We've got New Japan, TNA. There's so much stuff to talk about. And as noted, your phone calls all day long at 855-478-4478. Don't miss out. Back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Broadcasting Network.
Indeed you are. Wrestling Observer Live here every day, Sunday through Friday. Brian Alvarez here along with Mike Sempervivi. We're going to be taking your phone calls all day long here. 855-478-4478. We got plenty of time. A lot of stuff to talk about. And since we normally plug various things, including our Twitter handles, I want to throw out at Brian Alvarez. That is mine. Mike is at Sempervivi. Sports Byline at Sports Byline USA. If you go to my Twitter right now, I have just posted two photographs, actually. One of them is with myself and my cat Snorky. I rarely post selfies because it is impossible to take a good selfie. But I am taking a selfie with my cat right there. And interestingly enough, I took that photo a couple of days ago because my cat was looking at me. And then, I don't know how to describe it. Cat doesn't look pleased with me. But anyway, the point of this is...
She wants to kill you.
Yeah. Last night I was on the MMA Underground app after the UFC show, and they had an article on CM Punk. The title is, CM Punk, I have the easiest job in the world. And the accompanying photo is CM Punk, and he's holding up his fists, and they have X's on them as normal. And for some reason, which I absolutely cannot explain, next to him in the photo is a cat that looks shocked. Why? I don't know. But I looked at it, and it looks exactly like my cat. And so I've put a side-to-side up on Twitter right now if you want to check it out. I don't know if we're trying to set up a mixed tag here, man and cat versus man and cat, but it's pretty creepy how much these cats look like each other. And again, if anybody has any idea why they decided to put a picture of a cat in this article with CM Punk, let me know, because there's no reference to it in the article. It's just a completely random photograph of a shocked cat in there with CM Punk. Did you read this article, Mike? Why he has the easiest job in the world?
Yes, I did. Yeah. And it has nothing in there at all about a cat.
No. He has the easiest job in the world, he says, because all he has to do is go and train all day long and, I guess, get beat up. This is not the easiest job in the world. I'm just telling you right now, as someone who's been beat up many, many times. It ain't easy, but if he thinks so, more power to him. The big question
is, go ahead. Let's say everything's really relative here, too. I mean, look where he was. Look how miserable he was. Maybe this just and the fact that he loved to train anyway, it's just at a more amped up level. Maybe he's just loving it that much.
That's right. The big question is his debut coming up probably in about a year. How is this all going to be affected by the fact that Rufus Sport had a rough night last night? That, of course, is where he's training. And Anthony Pettis destroyed in the main event by Rafael Dos Anjos. And his brother Sergio, although he was winning the fight, Sergio Pettis also KTFO at the show last night. Rough night for all those guys there. CM Punk did walk Pettis down to the ring. Rough times for Rufus Sport.
So rough times for the bookies, I'm sure, too, because I was looking at some of the closing numbers, and it's like five dimes. Pettis was minus 450, and Dos Anjos was plus 400. But Sports, there was a site that actually had Pettis at minus 769.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and Dos Anjos at, you know, well over 400. And I'm sure anybody that threw a little bit of money on Dos Anjos last night and maybe be possibly kind of team that together with Joanna Jay, probably they had themselves a pretty good night.
You never know what's going to happen in a fight, but and granted, I asked for the odds after the first round of the Dos Anjos Pettis fight. My brother-in-law was over here, and I had him look him up as we're watching the show. And I mean, I was just shocked that Pettis was such a heavy favorite against Dos Anjos, who actually, Rafael Dos Anjos, I don't know if I would have picked him in the fight necessarily, but he's had a good year, a really good year. And Anthony Pettis is very, very good. But man, the week leading up to the fight, I'm hearing Duke Rufus talk about how he's the Floyd Mayweather of MMA, which, by the way, I don't even understand the comparison, seeing as to how he's not undefeated. I don't know how many people were calling him the pound for pound best fighter in mixed martial arts. Probably not many. And then Dana White's calling him the new Anderson Silva. And it's just like, man, this is destined for doom. Just like this, the upcoming Conor McGregor fight. I mean, they're doing like a worldwide tour building up Conor McGregor's fight with Jose Aldo. And it's like, oh, man, I just see McGregor going in there and just getting obliterated now. It's just the way things work in life when things like this happen.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, hey, he's had his Wheaties box and he had the four straight, you know, bonuses leading into it. And he's looked fantastic. I mean, nobody remembers that. It skips from Benson Henderson right to Jeremy Stevens. Nobody even likes to bring up the fact that he lost to Clay Guida in that time, too. But that's all been kind of stricken from the record. And it's his hype has been rolling and things had been looking good for him, you know, being media friendly in the whole nine yards. And it's helped. And the fights have been great. They've been exciting. He's earned those bonuses that he's had in those last four fights. It's just Khabib Nurmagomedov sent a tweet off last night just saying that's why you should be in the gym a little bit more than partying. And I don't know if Pettis has been out there partying, but he has certainly been.
Yeah, I didn't know what was that. I didn't know what that was about.
I don't know. Maybe he's been enjoying things more than we know as far as, you know, his newfound glory and fame goes. But I mean, he'd certainly been earning it going into last night. But boy, you couldn't have gotten any flatter.
All I know is young guy getting put over so big by everybody right and left. It's just this happens to everybody. And granted, he did get punched right in the eyeball and couldn't see for five rounds. And who knows what would have happened if he'd not been punched in the eyeball. But you know what? He got punched in the eyeball by the guy who won. So this is not and he made no excuses. This is not a fluke. It's just, that's the way things happen. Dos Anjos, he looked great. He set the record for the most number of fights in UFC before actually winning a title. Beat the record by like five fights. He went into the fight with a torn MCL. Or at least an injured MCL. He doesn't know the extent of it, but he could not do any wrestling training for 3 weeks. And my God, he looked amazing. It wasn't like he looked like a bad fighter who was beating a guy with one eye. He looked like a great fighter who was beating a guy with one eye. And it was very, very impressive, the performance that he put on last night. George St. Pierre would have been impressed by this one.
And yeah, now this is three straight, you know, impressive performances for Dos Anjos, and it's now it is. Is this a Lennox Lewis, Haseem Rahman situation where, you know, the Rahman was on a roll and he caught Lewis at just the right time and knocked him out? And now it's, you know, okay, where do you go from here? He clearly destroyed Pettis, you know, by the decision. He certainly earned it, but now he's got to stay just as hungry to keep this thing going, because Nate Diaz, he really just smothered and made to look a fool. And then the fight before that was that knockout against Benson Henderson. So he has put himself in a really good spot here. And it's, I guess, you know, who knows what's going to happen next? Because I guess in theory, you could have, you know, Nurmagomedov has been talking about Pettis now for a while. Do you do a rematch with him and Dos Anjos just to go ahead and see if Khabib can beat him twice?
We also had another title change. Joanna Jędrzejczyk defeated Carla Esparza, destroyed her. Four minutes and 17 seconds of the second round. I don't think Carla Esparza won 1 second of this fight. Completely obliterated. Two new champions on this show. Very, very interesting night. We can talk more about this here in a bit. Let's take a phone call here, see what's on people's minds. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
What's up, Ryan?
I wanted to give a report on the Covey Pro Royal Rumble that was held last night.
The Covey Pro Royal Rumble.
Right. It was just held a few miles outside of where Brian Ladd lives.
It sounds to me like you're stalking Brian Ladd.
No, it just so happens that that's one of my hangouts. It always has been one of my hangouts.
All right. Well, Ryan, stand by. We'll get the Royal Rumble preview when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Going to go back to Ryan from Cumberland here in just a moment, but first off, I want to make sure that I mention this here today, since I know a lot of you have got the WWE Network and others are interested in watching non-WWE wrestling on your television. Keep in mind, I'm not being paid for this, although if anybody from Apple is listening and would love to sponsor the show, brian@wrestlingobserver.com is email. I was at the Apple store today because my wife's phone, she has an iPhone 4, and it was time for the upgrade. And so she went and she got the big iPhone 6 large or whatever it is. So I'm at the Apple store, and I've got Apple TV here at the house. I've got one here in the office that I watch the WWE Network on, and I've got another one downstairs for when people come over and we watch the pay-per-views and such. So the one downstairs has all sorts of problems. It was the very first Apple TV that ever came out, the first generation, and I try to AirPlay stuff to it, and for whatever reason, I get video but not sound. The one upstairs works great, but the one downstairs is very, very buggy. So I'm at the Apple store, and they've got the third generation Apple TV. And so I thought, I'll buy the new one here, and now I can AirPlay New Japan and anything else that I want to AirPlay to the television. They have, I think in the last week, dropped the price of a new Apple TV, the brand new third or fourth generation or whatever it is. Brand new Apple TV is now $69. So if you have any interest, if you've got an iPhone particularly, since it has the AirPlay feature, the new Apple TVs, if you don't have one, are down to $69. And trust me, in terms of the WWE Network, every time there's a WWE pay-per-view, I get like 9,000 people on Twitter telling me that their show is buffering or it looks terrible or it won't connect or whatever. I shouldn't say never. 99.9% of the time, I have zero problems when I watch through Apple TV. So if you're looking for an alternative, $69 right now for an Apple TV that you can hook up to your television and watch all sorts of stuff, including if you've got Hulu, Netflix, etc. But that's
UFC
all I'm saying.
Fight Pass.
That's right. Fight Pass is on there.
That's lovely on there.
That's right. But I'm saying no more until I get a sponsorship deal. All right, to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Ryan. Sorry, Ryan. Ryan, before you begin here, there's been a very, very bitter accusation against you. Someone believes you're making up the name of this promotion.
Well, I'm just about to tell you, and then they can research for themselves.
All right. Go ahead. A Royal Rumble.
In a couple weeks, you can watch this on YouTube, so that will clear the air on that this is actually true.
That's right. All right, tell me about this Royal Rumble. Who won?
Well, let me get through the undercard first, because you have to understand the undercard to understand the Rumble.
Okay. Unlike the real Royal Rumble.
The first match was Ray Lynn, the Miley Cyrus of pro wrestling. He made her debut on WWE Superstars this week. Defeated the Native American Joker, Nyla Rose, after your boy, the Justin Bieber of pro wrestling, Dylan Bostic, put a steel chair in the ring, and Ray Lynn gave her a DDT on the steel chair.
Yeah, this is Semper Vivi's boy, everybody, just to clarify. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second match was the world title match between the King of Maryland, Louis G. Rich. He defeated Crazy Shay after Crazy Shay jumped off the top rope. Louis G. Rich knocked him out with a pair of brass knuckles.
Now, does the King of Maryland have any sort of documentation for his claim to the throne?
Yes, he does, because he won the tournament last Friday.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Well, that clears it up.
Yeah. King of Maryland tournament. All right, what's next?
And what happened was, after the match, Louis G. Rich gave the Crazy Baker a pile driver. He also had Crazy Shay so beat up, he had to be put on a stretcher.
So are you telling me there's two people with the nickname Crazy in one promotion?
Yes.
Wow.
Louis G. Rich sounds like he should make hams.
That's right. This would never fly in WWE to have two crazies in the same promotion. All right, what's next?
Okay, finally, in the Royal Rumble, Mike's boy, Dylan Bostic, was the first entrant, and he was the first person to be eliminated.
Of course. That's what always happens with Mike's boys. They're first in, first out.
And the last two people were Crazy Shay, who the security tried to stop from entering the ring. They put a barricade up against them, but Crazy Shay fought against all these people that were trying to fight against them. Even a pastor was trying to stop him from
coming
into the ring.
Yeah. A man of the Lord tried to stop this man, and he was bowled over?
Yes, he's a pastor at Paw Paw West Virginia Church.
Crazy. But he got in the ring anyway.
Yes, and it came down to Crazy Shay and Chris Wilde from Adam Rose's Rosebuds. And they sort of messed up the finish, because Chris Wilde went through the second rope, and Crazy Shay was fighting with Chris Wilde. They both fell off the apron at the same time.
Oh, no.
And I think this...
Go ahead. Sorry, Mike jumps in sometimes. Go ahead.
And they're off by 1 second, too, because Crazy Shay should have actually won based on, the landing.
Sure. If they'd had instant replay, he would have been the winner.
Right.
I presume there's no instant replay here in this promotion. Is that right?
I'm not sure about that, but... The issue was Chris Wilde only went through the second rope, but they didn't recognize this. But my theory is Wilde Bill Jacobs was the referee, who's Crazy Shay's tag team partner from back in the day. So he was siding with Crazy Shay. So I think there might be a heel turn here, because they declared both of them the winner because both the referees were arguing on who won the match.
I see.
And Crazy Shay has been hinting at turning heel recently, so I think this might be part of the storyline.
Well, Ryan, I want to thank you very much for the call and the update, which leads me to ask Mike the following question. From what you have just heard from Ryan, is this better or worse than the build for WrestleMania this year?
I would actually say, you know what, it's been better. It's that actually probably makes more sense with what they're doing with their characters than what WWE's done in the build to WrestleMania.
If they had a crazy chef in the build to WrestleMania, we might be talking. So there you go, everybody. WrestleMania is coming, and we do have a card. We're going to talk about that here on the program today. If you want to give us a call, 855-478-4478 is the phone number. You can talk about UFC as well. As you can tell, it's open line, so anything that is on your mind, we can talk about here on the program today.
Can I say one thing about Joanna?
Yes.
Because we did get away
Joanna.
From that quickly.
Joanna.
From Joanna. From
Joanna
Yo J.
Girl, Joanna. That's
that
how you
was,
remember.
That was awesome. I mean, that was an absolutely awesome, devastating performance. And I know Esparza did a lot of blocking of punches with her face, and she seemed to be at a complete loss when her takedowns got stuffed. And I can understand a little bit why, because I don't think anyone expected, with Esparza being as great of a wrestler as she is, and Joanna not being, you know, she's got some impressive wins, but to go in there and face somebody whose wrestling is so good, to stop her in the way that she did was incredibly impressive. But that, I thought, was a great matchup. And it does lead to another fight, which, granted, you're only going to be able to get so much mileage and attention to the strawweight division, even, you know, outside of Paige VanZant. It's one of my favorite divisions, but I understand that you're not going to have too many pay-per-view main event fights or anything like that. But you do have the fight with her and Claudia Gadella to do again, because that was a very close split decision that a lot of people thought Gadella had won. And those two facing off against each other, at least it's something else. Heaven forbid if they don't get injured, that the UFC has for later on this year as far as a really good, impressive matchup goes.
Joanna looked awesome. There were a lot of people on the show that looked awesome. Dos Anjos obviously did in his big win over Anthony Pettis. Joanna looked great. Johnny Hendricks looked pretty good. I thought he looked really good, but he didn't think so, nor did Dana White, his win over Matt Brown, unanimous decision. Alistair Overeem and Roy Nelson. Honest to God, I didn't think either guy looked all that good. Overeem, I guess he had some, I don't know. Like, he took the guy apart standing, but Roy Nelson is so slow that it's hard to tell at what level Overeem is at, if you know what I mean. I mean, he just, Nelson just stood there and just got kicked to death, but he never gave up because he's just a machine. And he potentially could have won that fight if whenever he rocked Overeem, which he did on three separate occasions, instead of trying to take the guy down immediately, which was his inexplicable decision, he actually would try to finish the fight. He might have actually beat Alistair Overeem. And then Henry Cejudo looked great beating Chris Cariasso. So it was a good show. The undercard was all finishes, and the main card was just a bunch of men and women smashing their opponents for the most part. So overall, I thought it was a very good show.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we talked about all the big events that the UFC had this year, and this was a show that the UFC fan should have been galvanized to buy. There were events, and obviously with the, you know, the only big fight on the last show being almost said Gina Carano's, but Ronda Rousey's fight, you know, this was the one that it's probably only going to do maybe 275, 300, whatever it's going to do. It probably deserved better, but it's a great example of why, you know, it's hard to miss a card. You never know what a card is going to be. And again, this was more for the hardcore, but up and down the whole thing, it was completely worth it.
Back in a moment, everybody, with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Heading back to the phones here in a moment. I've got a couple of people noting here on Twitter. Chris here says, that cat with CM Punk looks like he just saw the Undertaker streak come to an end. That is correct. I hadn't thought of that before, but he is right. If you want to see this picture, it is up on my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. Also like to mention, if you're listening to this on a replay or on a recording, and you want to listen live, weekdays at 3 Pacific, Sundays at 6 Pacific, both Eastern time, noon Pacific, Monday through Friday, 3 Pacific, Monday on Sundays, of course, on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. On the right-hand side, I put up giant icon links to TuneIn Radio and iHeartRadio, which are two different ways you can listen to the Sports Byline USA Radio Network and hear these shows live and free every day. So head up to WrestlingObserver.com. It's got the icons as well as the time. So it's pretty much impossible to screw up. I was going to use a term that Rip Rogers used to use, but I decided against it. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Oh, man, right then he hung up. My plug of TuneIn Radio and iHeart drove this man off the phone lines. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. That is 855-478-4478. We are 2 weeks away from WrestleMania 31, and believe it or not, we now have a card, which we didn't have a couple of weeks ago, which is kind of shocking when you think about this being the biggest show of the year. 7 matches scheduled. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the WWE title. Sting versus Triple H. We've got the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Bad News Barrett, R-Truth, Dean Ambrose, Luke Harper, Dolph Ziggler, Stardust, and Daniel Bryan in a ladder match for the Intercontinental title. Rusev is facing John Cena for the U.S. title. AJ Lee and Paige will be facing the Bellas in a tag match. And, of course, The Undertaker is going to be returning to face Bray Wyatt. I've got a list of participants thus far added to this Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. They include The Miz, Curtis Axel, Ryback, Fandango, Adam Rose, Zack Ryder, Jack Swagger, Titus O'Neil, Darren Young, Big Show Kane, Eric Roman, Damian Mizdow, and Sin Cara. You know who is missing from this entire lineup thus far, Mike?
Who?
Gold Dust. I realize maybe nobody cares, but it is interesting that at the Fastlane pay-per-view, they did a Gold Dust versus Stardust match that I presume at the time was going to lead to a rematch, and Gold Dust pinned Stardust clean in what they pushed as almost a fluke finish. And after winning that match, Goldust is not only not in the ladder match, which Stardust is in for a shot at the Intercontinental title, but he is not in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal either, which leads one to speculate that he's too much of a winner to be in either of those matches. What has wrestling come to nowadays?
That's pretty much what it's come to, although don't worry, there is still time. I cannot believe they would have Goldust do everything that he has done, whether you've liked it creatively or not. But as far as what he's been able to do since he came back to team with Cody and turning back the hands of time and looking as good as he's looked, it is hard for me to believe that he will not be added to something to get a WrestleMania pay.
The lineup here, let's go through these matches one at a time. We'll obviously get into this a lot more as WrestleMania draws near. But Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns is the main event. Last week here on Sunday, we weren't even 100% sure that Brock was going to show up on Raw. Of course, he did end up doing so. Pardon me there. He did end up doing so, but we have a few weeks left. He has not signed a new deal with the company. I'm sure he still is going to be playing both sides against each other. Maybe even three sides if Bellator has an offer in addition to UFC. Still, it seems inevitable that Roman Reigns is winning the title at Mania, unless they go with one of the alternate scenarios, such as Roman Reigns getting beaten, however that might take place. If you are sure the fans are going to cheer Brock Lesnar and you want something resembling a happy ending, and then Roman Reigns wins the title the next day, Paul Heyman sides with Roman Reigns goes heel champion, Brock Lesnar is RUNNOFT to the UFC. Where do you think this is going, Mike?
I have no idea. Honestly, I really don't. And, you know, you also have Seth Rollins in that mix, too, so you never know what could happen there. To me, if you're going to Reigns, if that's the way you want to go, if because Lesnar's leaving, then have Reigns win it at WrestleMania and then lose it at Raw the next night. Because if Reigns wins it anyway at WrestleMania, it's going to get a mixed reaction. You have your best shot there. You've been to Raw the next night. You have been there in person. You know what that crowd is like. You know what it's going to do. If you want to try to get out of it the next night, I think that's the way you go, and you have Rollins cash it in, because it will be a big deal. And as far as, you know, the history will show with DVDs and everything, you know, else, it will seem like an incredibly hot crowd that was behind, you know, Seth Rollins, however you want to play it. But it was a big deal, or it came across as a big deal when he won. So if Lesnar's got to lose because Lesnar's leaving, and I completely understand that, to me, have Reigns win it at WrestleMania, take whatever lumps you're going to there, and then start new on Monday, have Rollins win it from him or however else that's going to go, and go from there.
You know what's funny is I think there's a 99.99% chance that Roman Reigns is going to be booed at WrestleMania. But you never know. And it's always interesting to read house show reports and compare those to what you see on television. Roman Reigns on Raw of late, it's not even that he's been getting booed. It's just that he gets no reaction. Nobody cares about Roman Reigns. These people that buy tickets to television events and pay-per-views, They don't care one bit about Roman Reigns. And I think that you're obviously going to get that when you have an even more hardcore group going to WrestleMania. But in both the case of John Cena and Roman Reigns, they do house shows and everybody loves them. My buddy Craig went to the house show here in Seattle last night. And yes, I skipped a Seattle house show. I actually couldn't go, but when I heard the lineup of Daniel Bryan versus Kane and Roman Reigns versus The Big Show, suffice to say, I was not itching to go to that show. But regardless, my buddy Craig went, and he said Roman Reigns' music hit, and the place went nuts. They went crazy for the guy. Huge babyface at the house show, Roman Reigns. Put that guy on television, got a totally different reaction.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, with WrestleMania, it's fine if he's booed a bit. It's, will he be booed enough where you have to go ahead and have Brock Lesnar win at WrestleMania? And I don't believe that's going to be the case. Again, the next night, that will probably be the case. But I think, you know, closing WrestleMania with him standing there, the good guy conquering, you know, the Beast, and then do the rematch, then I don't know what you do the next night again, but Reigns is going to get, to me, a far worse reaction on Monday than he will that Sunday night.
Now, the only issue is, I believe, I don't know this for sure, but I believe the flaw in the plan of either having Roman lose at WrestleMania and do a rematch where he wins the title on Raw is, I think if Brock Lesnar works WrestleMania, he will have contractually fulfilled all of his wrestling matches for the year. And unless they can get him to commit to adding another match, you can't do it. Which is interesting because a couple of weeks ago, Vince and Brock had that huge blow up at television. And they got into a shouting match, and Brock walked out and left. And nobody knows why. Nobody knows what happened that caused both sides to blow up. I don't know. Nobody seems to know. And probably the only people that know are Brock and Vince and maybe Triple H, Steph, and I would presume Paul Heyman, but I don't even know about him. So the question has been, what could possibly cause this reaction from these guys? Maybe Vince had something similar to the idea that I had, which is, we know the dude's going to be booed, so we may as well give him a happy ending by having Brock leave with the belt, but then we got to do the rematch the next night, and Brock, you're out of matches, so will you just do me this favor and do the match for free, or can we make some sort of agreement to do one more match to your contract or something like that? And maybe that's the sticking point, where Vince wants him to do another match, and maybe he's not offering him enough for it. This is all speculation, so please do not report this on some other site and claim that I'm saying that this is a fact. I'm just speculating. What could have caused this blow-up? Maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know.
No, it could be a million things, you know. It could be how everything, Brock, how are we going to do this at WrestleMania? And Vince could have had some crazy idea that Brock didn't like, or whatever it is. But, you know, when you look at it that way contractually, if that's the way it goes, where he's only got one appearance, it's not a match, it's an appearance that he can have, well, that's even more of a reason than to put Reigns over at WrestleMania. And then if you need to push the button on whatever it is that it's going to be, whether it be Orton showing him up, making him look bad, and you have the natural thing of Reigns saying, no, the fans turned on me, but you're supposed to be my friend, my buddy, and you held my foot, and you can go that direction. You can have Rollins and Reigns, whatever it is that you're going to do after this. I would, again, do it on Monday night and just make Raw special, because it's going to be an anti-Reigns house in all likelihood anyway. And it's just a way to jumpstart Raw post-Mania and make it an even bigger deal. We got this big thing, whatever it is, coming out of it.
All right, to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's John from Arkansas.
What's up, John?
Oh, not much. Just listen to the various speculations that you're throwing out there and all this Lesnar talk.
Man, speculations.
You know, I heard what you
fine
said.
Words. Speculations. Just want to throw that out there.
Yes, core point. I think you made that painfully clear that you're not saying this as fact. So people who want to take these speculations and run with them like they're the gospel, please don't do that. You're making Brian look bad, and that's just not cool.
That's right.
And he can do that enough on his own.
Exactly.
Now I should go back to the Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns thing. You know, your friend said that everything went great at the house show. I think maybe it's just the way they're presenting Roman on television. Maybe that's why he just has this whole lackluster feel behind him. I think they've got to quit over-scripting these guys to such a massive point and just kind of let them organically happen and then let the go with the direction the people take it. If the people like it, make him a good guy. If they hate him, make him a bad guy. Real simple. That's kind of the way they used to do things. As far as Lesnar goes, you know, if he comes back, great. If he leaves, that's fine too. It's just, I think WWE enjoys more having his legitimate credibility be there. So I think maybe that might be our sticking point with him and Vince. They can't quite get that deal done to each his liking and for each side being compensated in the way they feel they should be. I am all for the inclusion of more MMA-type people into professional wrestling because of the legitimate athletic side that it brings into things. I'm for that for all sports types of people. If you can bring more athletic base into it, you're going to bring a stronger realism into it, which will dramatically translate to the fans that watch the product. We will see excellent athletic endeavors in a dramatically themed environment, which is what wrestling should be.
Well, we got to head to a break here in a second, but I do agree, and I want to thank you very much for the call. The one thing about bringing in MMA and other athletes, MMA fighters, is they do have to learn how to work. If you just start bringing in guys, former UFC washouts or whatever, you train them a little bit and you throw them in the ring, won't be good. I've seen a lot of matches in Japan with former MMA fighters. Some are good and some are hideous. It's the same thing with anything. I mean, you're going to get a better work ethic with MMA stars. They're going to have a higher pain threshold. There are a lot of benefits to getting a real athlete and trying to teach them to be a pro wrestler, but they got to love pro wrestling. You know, if you take a guy and he's looking at pro wrestling as, well, my MMA career is over, I need to make some money somewhere, let me try this pro wrestling thing. He may not have the passion and it may not pan out, so a lot of different things to talk about. We'll do more after the break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And tonight, there is a AAA pay-per-view, which I believe is beginning the moment after we go off the air. The Rey de Reyes show, I believe, is the show here tonight. So we're going to be talking about that more in the second hour, as well as a ton of news going into tomorrow's Monday Night Raw. There are a couple of weeks left until WrestleMania, of course, taking place in Santa Clara, WrestleMania 31. I will be there live at the show. And so, obviously, we got a lot of stuff to talk about there. NXT Impact. Impact is going to be back on the viewing schedule for the Brian and Vinny show. For those of you that have missed the Impact reviews, I finally snapped one boring SmackDown too many. SmackDown is being replaced by Impact on the Brian and Vinny show. We'll also be talking New Japan on the program tonight. And Mike can talk a little bit about the New Japan Cup, which is just wrapped up. We'll also take your phone calls at 855-478-4478. There is a lot of stuff coming up in hour number two, so make sure you stick around for that. It's going to be a fun time. Back in a few here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, as well as Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeart Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, the list goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the whole entire world, meaning, of course, the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the whole entire universe. Going to be taking your phone calls after the break as well. 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. 4478. Call starting after the next break. I want to mention here, since this is a short segment, just a interesting topic that we can get into after the break. As much as people have been down on WWE booking of late, and the television ratings are soft, down about 10-15% on both Raw and SmackDown from the same period last year. People not enthused by Roman Reigns and the build for WrestleMania and everything like that. As negative as people are about some aspects of the product, if you have been looking at the attendance for the television tapings and pay-per-views of late, sellout. And on that topic, SummerSlam tickets went on sale. A few remaining tickets available to the general public yesterday at 10 o'clock a.m. And I don't know what time it was, maybe about 10:05 a.m. Gone. They sold the vast majority of the tickets during the pre-sale. They put the rest of the tickets online. Platinum tickets, cheapest pair going for $1,000, all the way up to $2,000 as well. All of them gone. SummerSlam completely sold out. There's good and bad when we talk about WWE. More after the break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Going to start taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478. I got to mention a couple of things here. I was thinking about Roman Reigns being cheered at the house shows and booed on television and why that might be. Same with John Cena, actually. And I have two theories. One of them being that house shows are largely attended by families with kids going to see the stars. And so the adults are less likely to boo guys like Roman Reigns and John Cena. They're just there with their kids. Their kids are having a good time. They're buying merch, blah, blah, blah. I think that's one aspect of it. And I also think there's something to the idea that when you buy a ticket for a house show, you're going to watch the product, you cheer, you boo, et cetera, et cetera. When you buy a ticket for a television show, I think a lot of fans that go believe that we are now part of the show. We are part of the live studio audience, and we are part of the show. And therefore, we are going to boo John Cena, because the man on TV always boo John Cena. We're going to boo Roman Reigns, because that's the cool thing to do. I just think there's a different attitude when you go to a house show as opposed to when you go to television.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree. And a lot of it does have to do with the kids and, you know, the whole deal of the family event, and WWE doesn't come around often. It's just, it is a different crowd that is going on a Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m., whenever it is, as opposed to the Raw deal where you're going to be on TV and the whole nine yards. I want to say it's completely different, but it's pretty different.
All right, the phones are ringing like crazy. Let's see what's on everybody's mind. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello there.
Yeah, hello. It's Tony, Michigan.
Tony, what's up?
Hey, the Intercontinental ladder match at WrestleMania and just how horrible the whole stolen belt gimmick's been.
It's hideous.
Seems like the storyline's built around R-Truth, who isn't wrestling at all in this. And then where they went at the end of SmackDown on Friday with Daniel Bryan. I don't know if you guys saw the show or not.
I heard about it. I heard about the line at the end of the show where they called him a turd, which apparently was even worse on television than it was when you all heard it right there.
Yeah, it was pretty cheesy, to say the least. Dean Ambrose called him a turd, and his music hit, and he laughed. And then Ziggler said, hey, wait a minute, I don't agree much with Dean, but yeah, Daniel Bryan, you're a turd.
Oh, God.
So are they trying to turn those two guys heel? Or?
I think they're, I mean, if you ask me, they're just trying to push it as every man for himself. I don't think they're trying to turn anybody. But what scared me about your call here is that when you said the words, they're building this around R-Truth, it suddenly struck me that, in fact, this whole stupid storyline is built around R-Truth. And on the show last week, it may have been you, Mike, or maybe it was Craig, I don't remember. Somebody asked me if there was any chance that R-Truth was going to win this match. And I said, absolutely not. There are some things that just could never happen. And all of a sudden, when you said that this has been built around him, it suddenly struck me that, in fact, he may win this match.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, my God. What next?
If not him, maybe Stardust. But, yeah, he is... He has done but the thing is, he's done the sneaky thing the whole time. So if you believe in 50-50 booking, even when you have a complete cartoon storyline that this has been, he's already snuck away and been the guy to fool everyone this whole time and end up with the belt. So he should get his comeuppance in this match if they go with their traditional booking styles.
I can only imagine the reaction at WrestleMania if Truth wins that match. If anybody except Daniel Bryan wins it, there's going to be trouble. You just know it's WrestleMania. Oh, dear God. What do they call the guy who got the big white eyes when WrestleMania lost, or when Undertaker lost at WrestleMania?
Oh, yeah, just the Undertaker guy. Yeah, the shocked guy.
It's just the Undertaker guy?
I think so.
Okay. I've got if you go to my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez, somebody has photoshopped the cat in the CM Punk picture next to the Undertaker guy, and it's amazing. It actually is... Are you looking at it right now?
Yes.
That's awesome. I just
Thank
retweeted
you,
it.
Chris McDonald.
Yeah, I just retweeted it to the world. Thank you, Chris. If you want to go up and see it on my Twitter, it's up there right now, at Brian Alvarez. Go up there and check that out. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Brian, it's Chris in Las Vegas. I was listening
this
to
already
you
started out
eight,
depressing, but go ahead, Chris.
No, I was listening to you right before you guys took your short break, and you were talking about the good and the fact that they were selling out their arena. SummerSlam's gone. They're selling out. But I know the business has changed a lot. And compared to WCW, if you would write that, hey, here they are. They sold out another arena when their ratings and stuff were sliding. And what did they give them? Another crappy show. Oh, look, they sold it again. Give them another crappy show. And I guess while there's not another company around, isn't that eventually going to have that same effect that we're sort of seeing on a minuscule slide? I'll take my answer off here.
All right. I want to thank you very much for the call. I got a couple things to say about that. Number one, my buddy Craig, if you're a subscriber, you've heard the Brian and Vinny and Craig show. It's every Tuesday for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. And Craig sometimes plays Mr. Positivity. But sometimes it's hard, such as this week. It was very difficult to be positive about Raw on Monday. He thinks the show, he agrees with everybody. The show has not been great of late. But he went to the house show in Seattle last night. And when he sent me the results, at the end of it, he said, Brian, this show was so much fun. I had a great time with the family. It was just wrestling and no dumb storylines or backstage crap, just wrestling. I love house shows. He had a great time. I have been to many television tapings. I have been to many pay-per-views. And there's something about being there live. You got all these crazy people around you. You've got all the music, the pyro, the stars, everything. It's fun. You watch it on television and you can pick the whole thing apart. And, you know, of late, I don't know, 8 times out of 10, Raw is over and it's like, oh my God, that was a chore to sit through. Really wasn't very good. But you know what? If I would have gone to the last 10 Raws live, I probably would have liked 8 or 9 out of 10 of them. Even the shows that you watch on television and you're like, my God, the booking sucks. What are they doing? This was insufferable. You get the report from the guy that was there in the building. And what does he say? 9 times out of 10, I had a great time. It was so much fun. We loved booing Roman Reigns or whatever. Everybody that goes to the show and sends a report, and of course there are exceptions here and there, but when you buy your ticket, which I think is the key, when you pay your money and you go to the event, most of the time people seem to enjoy it. Not everybody, obviously. But the reports that I get from people are always way more positive than the reports of people that are just watching on television. So I think that that's a part of it. It's not fun to sit through 3 hours of Raw on a Monday night. You're tired. You worked all day. It's 3 hours long. But you know what? When you bought a ticket for yourself and your family and you've been looking forward to it for a while and you go there and you're in the building with all these crazy people, that's a fun time.
Yeah, it can be, but then we've seen it and heard it with the crowd where, and granted, sometimes the crowd just doesn't come across that well on TV for whatever reason, mic'd or whatever it is, but how many shows have we seen where it's, you know, they may have had a fun time, but it is very long for the people that are there too, even if they're having a good time. When you're sitting on your hands, you're sitting on your hands. Or when you're amusing yourself by chance and you're doing everything else but caring about what happens in the ring outside of three or four segments, that's not good. And I understand that it's great right now that they are selling out leading into WrestleMania, but how long ago were these tickets purchased when it comes to Raw? Raw should be sold out. That doesn't surprise me at all. I don't think that that's the greatest bellwether in the world because those tickets were bought. You know when WrestleMania is coming. You know that you would figure on paper, historically, the Raws leading into WrestleMania are all important. There are things that go down, whether it's The Undertaker coming back or whatever it's going to be. So those tickets were already purchased in advance, and I'm not trying to downplay too much the attendance because they are
actually
doing
stand by one
shows.
Minute. We got to run to the commercial. Back in a moment. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Twitter is blowing up right now after this Photoshop of the cat in the CM Punk picture has now been photoshopped in with the Undertaker guy. If you haven't been following this story, you can go to my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. Very quickly, what happened, last night I was on the MMA Underground app on my phone, and they had a story about CM Punk. CM Punk, I have the easiest job in the world, is the headline. And there's a picture of CM Punk, and next to him, for God knows what reason, there is a cat that is looking on in shock. Now, the cat looks exactly like my cat, and so I have also posted a photograph of myself and the cat, which I actually took before the CM Punk story came out. Ryan from Cumberland should hear this story. This is a Brian Ladd story. I took this photo, and then the CM Punk photo came out, and it's like he is recreating the photo I took. That's what I think. So anyway, I put this online, and somebody took the shocked cat and photoshopped it onto a photograph of the Undertaker guy at WrestleMania. It is astonishingly great. It's from Chris McDonald. And they're all up on my Twitter right now, at Brian Alvarez. So please go up there and observe that. And follow me on Twitter if you're not already, at Brian Alvarez. Mike Sempervivi is at Sempervivi. Sports Byline USA, at Sports Byline USA. And caller, what's your Twitter handle? I'm just kidding. You're on the air.
At KidZombie2000.
Oh, there we go. I asked for it.
And that was a cute drop there, though, of observe the picture. That was cute, Brian.
I didn't even think about it, but so thank you.
Calling to give a King of Indies update for WrestleMania weekend. It would be the 27th, 28th, Friday and Saturday night, 8 o'clock each night. It's part of the WWN Experience Live. First night, we have a three-way, Matt Cross, Joey Ryan, and my 17th cousin, Ricochet. Which is
I don't buy that he's your 17th cousin. I call shenanigans.
Well, he is half Caucasian, and we share the same last name.
Okay. You Zombie?
Yeah, something like that. And there's also a battle royal that night to honor the late, great Roland Alexander. If anybody knows Roland, he was a mark for the Cap House Battle Royals. So also there will be the tournament, 16-man single elimination. It's going to go over two nights. You can get the info at kingofindies.com. And actually, I take that back. It's kingofindies.net. Second night, there'll be a NorCal-SoCal tag team four-way with Los Luchas, who have been everywhere, Sir Samurai and Bobby Hart, taking on the Rockness Monsters, taking on the Classic Connection, who are a throwback to the Midnight Express. They're from up here. Levi Shapiro and Buddy Royal, they're a phenomenal team. They definitely watch their tapes. And also we have the Ultimo Dragon taking on Juventud Guerrera, and an exclusive that you won't see anywhere that week. You can get your tickets at kingofindies.net. You can grab a hold of any of the guys that are on the bill. They will sell you tickets directly. If you're not there, you can watch on iPay-per-view, www.wwnlive.com. If you can't make it, support on IPA Review. If you're not going to these shows, go to ROH, go to Shimmer, go to WrestleCon. Just support. Don't give your money to the WWE. But have a good night, and I will talk to you guys soon.
Thanks so much for the call. I was with you until you said don't support WWE, because it's kind of tough to go to WrestleMania weekend if you're not planning to support WWE. Just support all of them, everybody. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from? Hey, turn us down, and you're on the air.
Hi, it's Matt in St. Louis.
Matt, what's up?
You mentioned Pettis had an injury in the first round. Can you explain what it was and how it affected him for the rest of the fight?
He was punched right in the eyeball, and by the fifth round, he couldn't see at all out of it. And in the first few matches before he totally couldn't see, he had no peripheral vision. So he essentially was fighting with one eye.
Yeah, I had suffered way back.
It was really one-sided.
Yeah, he had a rough time. I don't even know if he had two eyes, if it would have been much of a different outcome, because Rafael Dos Anjos looked incredible in that fight.
Yeah, and we'll see what the condition of his eye is, too. I mean, I was hitting my eye way back, and I ended up suffering a partially detached retina. It wasn't fully detached, but it was partially detached. And you want to talk about a pain, because it's something you can obviously still fight with, but it is a pain. The pain that you actually feel is very weird. I mean, it's as far as the pressure, and you can't get it clear, and it plays on you. And Dos Anjos was just smothering him anyway. And he had, again, no answer for it whatsoever. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's the case, because, again, it's one thing to get hit around the eye or even when your eye is closed. But when you get your eye actually pushed back a little bit, one, obviously, it could be very dangerous in the fact that you could detach your retina or suffer some other type of damage. But it is a real, real pain to try to deal with.
About, let's see, 9 years ago, probably. I remember this because I just started jiu-jitsu and I had to take time off. This is probably about a year in and it sucked. But, I was at Buddy Wayne's school and he had this wrestler that we called Apostle Paul, who looked like Gunner of TNA fame, probably about the same size as well. And we were just doing chain wrestling. And the Apostle Paul decided, I am going to escape this wrist lock by doing a cartwheel. Imagine Gunner doing a cartwheel if Rockstar Spud was holding onto his arm. That's about the size difference that we had here with me and the Apostle Paul. So the dude did a cartwheel, and he hit me right in the eyeball with his knee. And he broke my orbital bone. And I never ended up getting surgery for it, but it largely healed. But when I looked like straight up, even to this day, if I keep my head facing forward and I move my eyes all the way up, I got double vision at the top because one of my eyes doesn't go all the way up. And actually, these are two different injuries that I'm thinking about now, because I think that one happened in 2008. The one that happened in like 2005, 2006 wasn't an injury. It was when I got LASIK, where they actually, I don't know if they detach your retina, but they use a laser to cut into your eyeball, and they pull a flap open, and then they bombard your eyeball with lasers, and they essentially fix your vision, which worked out great for me. But I could not grapple for at least a month after that, out of fear that my flap would come open. And I think I lasted about 2.5 weeks before I couldn't take it anymore. And so I got back on the mat to do the old, hey, let's roll light. Let's grapple light. And of course, you know what happened? Immediately, my eye scraped right across somebody's gi. Never happened before, never happened since. It only happened when I was trying to take care of my eyeball. Because for those of you that have never wrestled or done jiu-jitsu or any sport, things that you're trying to protect are always the things that get hurt. Always! So just stay away from action until you're completely healed is the moral of this story.
Oh, and also, I mean, it also for overcompensation, too, you are trying to protect something so much that you end up letting something else go, which, you know, is another, you know, issue as well, too. So when it's time for rest, as hard as it is, damn it, rest.
Yeah, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478 if you want to give us a call today. Any thoughts on Roman Reigns, SummerSlam selling out, reactions at house shows versus TV before we move on here?
No, again, just to add on, SummerSlam is a big pay-per-view. It's their third biggest one, if not their second biggest one every year. It has been in L.A. for a while. It's going to be at the Barclays Center in New York. It doesn't surprise me at all that it sold out. And I'm not trying to downplay the importance of WWE selling out and doing well with house show attendance, but I don't think right now they're the best bellwethers in the world as far as, you know, Barclays Center in New York selling off for SummerSlam. It should go that way. These Raw selling up to WrestleMania being sellouts, it should be that way. It should have been that way in advance. So I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, the best telling on everything still going well for WWE. What comes after WrestleMania, that to me is a better test.
The WWE Hall of Fame announcement tomorrow is expected to be Kevin Nash. In fact, I would be shocked if it's not Kevin Nash, because that is the plan. I believe that'll be one of the final entrants this year into the WWE Hall of Fame. Thoughts on Nash going in? No surprise.
No surprise at all. It's disappointing Ray Stevens wasn't there, the same way it was disappointing that Danny Hodge didn't go in New Orleans. And I know there's still a chance Danny Hodge can go in next year in Texas, but, you know, and I hope Triple H has got some sway that way. He obviously did that deal with him on Raw a couple of years ago, and Hodge, you know, he's just an amazing, awesome. I just love Danny Hodge, and, you know, whatever age he was, 80 something years old, to jump over the ropes and did that little angle he did with Hunter. I hope he's got enough sway to get him in next year. And Ray Stevens should just go in. You have enough footage on him. Nick Bockwinkel, I'm not sure what condition he's in, but you know, with Bobby Heenan still being around to see it and just having that stuff at your disposal anyway, you really should put a guy like Ray Stevens in. And what other city would it be besides San Francisco? So I hope they go that direction.
All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. When we come back, more phone calls, emails, news, and more here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, taking your phone calls today, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478, toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. And, of course, for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you know where to go, WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates, tons of newsletters, the Wrestling Observer newsletter every week, 35,000 words, news and information. Everything that you read online, I would say that probably 90% of it started in the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Why not read it first at WrestlingObserver.com? Figure Four Weekly, as well as radio shows. Not only do you get replays of Wrestling Observer Live within about 10 minutes after they're airing every single day, but we have tons of subscriber-only shows on the website. I got two more shows coming up tonight. The Brian and Vinny Show. We will be talking the TNA Impact television show, as well as New Japan on Access. I will then be back with Dave Meltzer. He's going to talk about the New Japan iPay-per-view, the AAA iPay-per-view, all of the news from the weekend, plus a new WrestleMania lapsed fan audio. There is so much stuff every day that you can only get as a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com. And of course, if you sign up, there's a lot of great apps, including Downcast, which is one of our favorites, where you can podcast every single one of those radio shows to your phone and listen to it on your way to work, your commute, at work, while you work out at the gym. You will never run out of awesome wrestling audio as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. Besides all of the new shows, every show we've ever done, 7,000 shows dating back to 2005 is available in the archives. So I've said it a million times. If you like this show, you are missing out if you're not a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. You will love it. So head up there, sign up today, and don't miss out. WrestlingObserver.com. Phone calls, 855-478-4478. News, including the addition of Kevin Nash into the WWE Hall of Fame, likely coming up tomorrow. Couple people on Twitter noting here, is he going to go as Kevin Nash or Real Hugo Boss here says his best known gimmick, Vinny Vegas. I don't think he's going as Vinny Vegas.
Not as Oz either, I don't believe.
Maybe Diesel.
That would make sense. Although,
why isn't he going in as Diesel if Scott Hall went in as Razor Ramon?
And they have not inducted the NWO yet either.
That's right.
It could very well be Diesel, although to me that's kind of corny. I would still, the same way I would have put Scott Hall in as Scott Hall and just tied them both together, because you can always put in the NWO later, the same way you put in, say, Ric Flair and then inducted the Horsemen later on. Him going in as Kevin Nash slash Diesel to me makes more sense than to have him go into Diesel and then wait and have him go in as Kevin Nash. If that's what you're waiting for, I would just tie him together.
So that is expected to be taking place tomorrow. It's too bad about Ray Stevens, as you were talking about in the last segment right there. If Ray Stevens doesn't go in this year, and I don't expect him to go in this year, in fact, I'm pretty sure he's not, I don't think he's ever going in.
No, and that stinks too, because with Stevens, you know, as Dave Meltzer will talk about at length, you know, most of the great stuff that he did way back, you know, him coming out of Indianapolis in the early TV era and in the 60s, where he was just hell on wheels and, you know, arguably the best worker in the country, certainly the best bump taker in the country, at least for his size, by all reports go. If you want to, hey, say Fez or Funk Jr. was the best worker, but Stevens was so incredibly exciting, and that stuff's not there, but there's so much good stuff that they do have. Him against Jimmy Snuka in 83 in WWF, him with Snuka teaming up with Greg Valentine against Ric Flair in Mid-Atlantic, that stuff they have. The stuff with him in the AWA teaming up with Nick Bockwinkel against the High Flyers, being there with Bobby Heenan, that's there. Any appearances, and I'm sure there's far more stuff, appearances in Florida, Georgia, Texas. You know, they may have to dig for it a little bit, but they have enough stuff, and that's why it's so incredibly disappointing, because they can have the kids come out. They could have Pat Patterson, who, again, is not getting any younger. He can do the induction, and again, for it's not even, to me, as much Stevens, although it is, and it's a respect thing shown for he and his family. It's because Bockwinkel is getting older, and again, I'm not sure how he's doing, but Bobby Heenan, we obviously know his condition. Pat Patterson is not getting any younger. It's, to me, as important as it is to the legacy of these guys, maybe who have passed on, it's still a hat tip to those guys that are still around, that we haven't forgot you. And I, again, not everybody deserves it. Not everybody can have it every year. And I understand what the Hall of Fame, as far as the WWE goes, is. But come on, it's Ray Stevens. When you look down the line of guys, you know, it's hard to watch a Dory Funk Jr. match today from 1972 if you don't understand it, or a Jack Briscoe match. Ray Stevens, for what they have from him on tape, that stuff's universal, and it plays a lot into how guys are today, the personality, the promos, the perception of how you're living. And Ray Stevens was the original, you know, make $1 million and spend two, you know, there wouldn't be a Ric Flair without a Ray Stevens. Even Ric Flair says that. It's just, boy, it's disappointing if they don't do it when they have it right there. And it would just be a great PR thing too. It would be great as far as old wrestling. I mean, there's just so much that good that can come out of that if you do it. And it's unfortunate that they're going to choose not to. You can have Kevin Nash in there, but you can most certainly have Ray Stevens there too.
Should mention, next week on the program, we've got guests for 2 days and maybe three. Monday, we're going to be joined by Danny Davis of Ohio Valley Wrestling. Very excited for that show. Huge fan of OVW, particularly back in the day. They're doing a fundraiser to hopefully get their television show in HD. So we're going to talk to him about WWE developmental and so much more. That is tomorrow. On Friday, Patrick LaPrade is going to be on the show talking Montreal wrestling. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, guys who started out in Montreal, and so much more. I believe during the week we're also going to have Mick Foley on the show as well. So we got a lot of big guests coming up. If you're listening to this on any sort of replay, you can always listen live Monday through Friday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. We make it easy for you. Go to WrestlingObserver.com, and on the front page, there are links to Sports Byline USA on either TuneIn Radio or iHeartRadio. However you love to listen to your radio, TuneIn or iHeart, find Sports Byline USA, and you can always listen to this show live and free through those two different options right there, and many, many more, obviously, as we talk about it at the beginning of the show. Your boy Brad Maddox is back on the road, Mike.
I've heard he's rocking tights that say XGM on them.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Now that
is maybe we've got a new bad Brad character that's going to be working the TVs, maybe.
Do you remember, like, a year ago when Bad Brad did that weird YouTube video where he claimed he was, like, spelunking or something, and he was trapped underground, and he was about to die?
Vaguely.
Do you remember this?
Vaguely.
What in God's name was that all about? It led to nothing.
Well, so did his GM ship, or however you would call
well,
that,
that's
his
true,
management position.
But at least that was like a role for him for a while. This underground getting lost thing was just goofy.
Was he wearing tight shirts? I can't remember.
I cannot for the life of me remember. He disappeared for a long time. Then he was trapped underground, about to die, and then he was just gone again. And now he's just returned. I don't know what's going on with Brad Maddox. It's quite a job.
Maybe he'll pop up in NXT as a teammate of Alex Riley, and they can be the Forgottens.
Have you been watching NXT with Alex Riley?
I have not seen this week's yet.
Man, it's hit and miss.
Oh, boy.
Alex Riley is, they're doing a great job building him up. Like, they're doing a better job building up Alex Riley for a match with Kevin Owens than they are building up Roman Reigns for a match with Brock Lesnar. But his first match back with the tree hugger, CJ Parker, almost said PJ Parker, and no, not the girl from Baywatch. This is a dude named CJ Parker. And didn't blow my mind, let's just put it that way. And I'd forgotten that his nickname was A. Rye for Alex Riley. And so when they were talking about him, I kept thinking they were saying A. Rod. And I'm like, A-Rod, like Alex Rodriguez, but there's no Rod in his name. Why is he A-Rod? And then Vinny explained to me, I think it's A-Rye for Alex Riley. And the first thing that I thought was, why anybody in 2015 would be doing a knockoff of J-Lo, for example, is completely beyond me. That was my first thought. But what I didn't think about at the time, but I thought about later was, your nickname is A-Rye? Like, your career has gone awry. Everything about you has just been, it has gone awry. Why would you have awry as your nickname? That's terrible. It's terrible that it's short for Alex Riley, and it's terrible because it sounds like awry.
It's a reminder to me that I have not had a good marble rye bread in a while, so I might want to go out and pick one of those up.
Well, if that's what you thought when you heard A-Rye, then something is really wrong with that nickname. NXT this week.
Not really. At least it reminded me of food and not as wrestling.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of NXT, but the show this week was not very good. Not good at all.
Tell you something I want to see, since everybody has been calling in, running down the cards of their choice. Let me just run down this one, because it ought to make you incredibly, incredibly happy. Suzuki-gun, it is official, has come over from New Japan and has Bullet Clubbed Tokyo, or Bullet Club Pro Wrestling Noah, to the nth degree, because the Great Voyage in Tokyo show that took place for Noah has had Suzuki Gun all over it, and they hold all of the gold now as Taka Mikanoshu and El Desperado won the GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles. Taichi knocked off Atsushi Kotoge to win the Junior Heavyweight title. Archer and Davey Boy Smith defeated Shane Haste and Mikey Nichols to make their first defense of the GHC tag titles that they had won about a month or so ago. And Minoru Suzuki has finally ended the reign of Naomichi Marufuji with some help from Takashi Iizuka, but he has won the GHC heavyweight championship. He refused a handshake with Kenta Kobashi, who was very upset afterwards. Akira Taue, threw down the trophy that they present to a champion, threw that down in front of him. He was very upset. The entire locker room came out and kind of shook their heads in despair. But it's true. Your boy, Minoru Suzuki, has taken over Pro Wrestling Noah.
Thank God. It's about time.
As well it should be.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be Kota Ibushi has taken over New Japan. I haven't seen it yet, but I saw Filthy Tom Lawler talk about it. A lot of people have. Third month, and we have our third, or actually our fourth, big match of the year candidate that has come out of New Japan as the semifinal match in the New Japan Cup. Kota Ibushi defeated Tetsuya Naito in about 15 minutes in what was supposed to be a off-the-hook match, and he later went on to win in the finals, defeating Hirooki Goto. And by winning the New Japan Cup, Kota Ibushi has now challenged AJ Styles for the April 5th show that is coming up in Sumo Hall. So we're going to be looking at that match, which to me is impossible to go badly. We may have a fifth or sixth match of the year candidate coming out of New Japan in only the first 4 months of the year.
NJPW World, everybody, is the place to go if you want to see a lot of New Japan. And you can airplay it to your brand new Apple TV, which I plugged earlier on the program. $69! It's on sale, everybody. So awesome. Go and grab one. I'm not making any money off this plug. I just think it's worthwhile. Back in just a moment with more, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, are you trying to get this AAA pay-per-view? You were mentioning something about it pouring in Mexico before the break.
Yeah, I just saw a tweet from Rob Vipers, and I haven't ordered it yet, but said a shot zooming in of the ring. Looks like it may be raining there, which, boy, I tell you what, it makes a good point. They've gotten lucky. Remember talking about snow or the possibility it's going to be so cold last year. Man, when's the last time it's rained at a big outdoor show? Battle of the Belts? You know, WWE's been very lucky. And, man, there's the one risk of running an outdoor show is it just absolutely pouring down. I'm not sure when the last time it's happened to WWE, but, boy, it makes you think about it if it's going to be pouring at Rey de Reyes tonight.
Well, Rey de Reyes about to start on pay-per-view, everybody. Make sure you check that out. Search Rey de Reyes AAA online. You can check out the show. Also, the New Japan show on njpwworld.com. Tomorrow is Raw. We're going to be back after the show. Myself and Dave Meltzer, only for subscribers. Also, two more shows tonight for subscribers. The Brian and Vinny Show, as well as Wrestling Observer Radio. So if you want more, make sure you check those out. Non-subscribers, we're here all next week. Noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We got links to Sports Byline USA on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. You can find us on TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, as well as Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, and of course, subscribers get full access to all shows immediately, so check that out. And that is it from here, everybody. I want to thank Mike, as always, all of you for calling and listening, all the folks at Sports Byline USA. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.